than me. Oh, see you, church. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it wonderful to be back in the house of the Lord tonight? Certainly enjoyed the services over the weekend. How many of you appreciate the preaching of the word of the Lord? The presence of our Lord coming among us is, well, there's just no way you could say what that's worth in money, because money can't touch it. To be in His presence, to feel His Spirit, to enjoy the preaching of the word of the Lord when it's getting down next to where you live. Well, we love that too, don't we? We want to get out of here, don't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Isn't God good to you tonight? Is He the best thing ever got a hold of you? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you take a second, turn and shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is. Once again, play a little bit of that. Let's sing one more time, boys, if you will. Play with all your heart. Play it. Care to stand with me just for a few minutes. We want to look at our prayer request tonight. We want to have a couple of notes in here in regard to Brother Jim Maxwell. We certainly want to continue to pray for our brother that the Lord would just bring him along and let him recover as he sees fit, and just commit him unto the Lord. We want to pray for Sister Sandy Murray. She was in an automobile accident yesterday, so let's pray for her tonight. Sister Pat Short's mother is near death. They're asking that we would remember that family in prayer tonight. Sister Linda Jablonski says that Eddie's dad called and requested prayer from the saints at Happy Valley Church for a personal battle in his life. Brother Baker says he has several unspoken requests. Also, he wants to thank the Lord for answering many prayers in his family. Thank you for your prayers. May God bless. So we just commit that unto the Lord tonight. We'll remember Sister Shirley Robbins having a lot of pain in her hip. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Bambi Lawson sends this in. Leah and I are both sick and have been for the last few days. Please pray that we get better soon. And also a friend, Lee McMurray, is having open heart surgery in Nashville this week and requests prayer. So we will remember those needs tonight, that the Lord would just help them. My brother-in-law, John, is back in the hospital. They're trying to get fluid from around his heart. He's suffering from congestive heart failure. And, of course, you know, him and Bueller are over here at Ivy Hall Nursing Home. And just pray for those folks tonight. That's my sister and her husband, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Sister Evelyn Wiggins says to please pray for my mother, Marilyn Wiggins. She will be having knee surgery on Thursday morning, so we certainly will remember that need as we pray. This was sent to the library in regard to Brother Jim Maxwell. He was released from the hospital this afternoon. He is to return on Friday for outpatient surgery, And for skin graft, more surgery is to follow later. So we just pray that the Lord would guide their hands and be with our brother during this time. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy, an unspoken prayer request for Ryan Kennedy. The Lord knows all about those needs. We'll just commit them unto God. We'll remember Brother Gene Lehman in prayer. He fell off of a truck, injured his back. He's at the emergency room, so we want to pray for Brother Gene that the Lord would be mindful of him. Pray for Brother Randy Walton for traveling grace. Also a request for Betty Barrett, who needs prayer for her body. So we'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. We'll remember Brother Lewis Lawrence. He hurt his foot and is in a lot of pain, so let's remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Rachel Estep, an unspoken prayer request. I want to remember Brother James Stamper. He fell and hurt his foot. It is very swollen. They thought that he might have had a fracture, so we just wait and see how that turns out. But let's pray for our brother. Brother James is a real brother, and we love him. Just pray that the Lord would help him. Holly Ward sends this in to please pray for Adam Ward. He is homesick tonight. Needs a touch from the Lord, so let's just pray that God would touch our brother and heal him tonight. Sister Maria Sponsia sends this in. Her family in Florida has requested that the believers here at Happy Valley would remember their uncle, her uncle in prayer, Elmo James, who has COPD, has been on oxygen for quite a while, seems to be getting worse, had x-rays of his lungs, and they're just watching him, many health issues, and they're asking that we would remember that need, just committed all unto the Lord, that God would be mindful of all that situation in regard to that. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, I certainly want to pray for our pastor, Sister Carol, Brother Donnie, as they travel. Going to be in meetings in Ohio later on this week, that the Lord, and I believe maybe some of the folks here are going to be going to those services. So pray for traveling mercy, that the Lord would just be mindful of all of our brothers and sisters. It's quite a time we're living in right now. Quite a time, but it's a great time, isn't it? Aren't you glad that you have been made more than a conqueror right here in the middle of Satan's Eden? You know what? He can do a lot of things to this part of me, but he can't touch that part of me. I'm so glad for that. That just thrills me to death. How about you? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Yes, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Yes, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
How many believes that God can touch every one of these needs? You really believe that? I want to put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000, so you join me as we pray, and you believe in behalf of these requests. We just don't want to have prayer, we want to believe. Lord Jesus, as we come here tonight, we're so happy to be back in the house of God. Truly, I can say that from my heart. I'm happy to be back in the house of God. The Holy Ghost goes to church. I love to go to church. My desire is to go to church. I moved down here to go to church. We're happy to be back in your house, Lord. We ask that you'd meet with us. Lord, we know that you're the anointing, and you're the one that anoints the speaker, whoever the vessel may be. Really makes no difference. But Lord, you're the one that actually preaches the gospel. Lord, because we believe it's your inspiration, it's your word, it's your eternal thoughts. We pray, Lord, tonight that you would take the uppermost seat. We welcome you. Come and be among us. We pray, dear God, for these requests. Brother Gene Lehman, I believe, said what he's failed. He hurt his back. I pray that you would touch him. So we continue want to pray for Sister Natalie. I pray for Brother Jim Maxwell. Lord, he's going through a real tough time right now. And I pray that you'll help him. And Lord, and Brother Lewis Lawrence and different ones. Oh, God, just many needs. I hold several in my hand. But Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp than the two-edged sword to even discern the thoughts and intents of a heart. And Lord, it not only does that, it heals, it delivers, it sets free. The Word of God is what we need. Lord, it's our token, it's our deliverance, it's our advocate, it's our way out of here. We're thankful for that. We're thankful, dear Lord, that you have given to us, Lord, the ministry that we're under. We appreciate it with all of our heart. We pray for Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, as Brother Louis said, give them traveling mercies, anoint him to speak up there. Brother Joe tonight is going to be speaking. I pray, dear God, to just anoint him. Lord, and may it be spiritual food in due season. as we listen to the preaching of the gospel, Lord, may we just pull on that gift and may we say, Lord, get him out of the way, get me out of the way, and may we hear from heaven. Touch every one of these requests and make them well. We ask you, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. And when we leave this building, we say it's been good to be in the house of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. I want to welcome Sister Sarah Carroll, wants us to welcome her nephew, Josh Seiler, who is visiting from Arlington, Texas. It's my brother Tim's son. Where would he be? Would you just raise your hand right over here? Give that young man a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have all of you in the service. May God bless you tonight. I believe we're going to have a real good time here tonight from the word of the Lord. Let's sing. How many of you are going to help me sing tonight? Aren't you glad that he didn't throw the clay away? Aren't you glad that when you mess up, Brother Terry, he still loves you? I'm glad when I mess up and I just make a complete idiot out of myself, he says, Lord, help him. I still love him, though. Amen. Aren't you glad he feels that way about you? Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody smile at me and say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Empty and broken, I came back to him. Vessel unworthy, I was so scarred by sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. I'm blessed today. He didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay. A vessel of honor I am today. And it's all because Jesus didn't throw
up all the broken pieces. He
Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus tonight just before we change the order of the service. I appreciate the Lord letting it rain naturally on us out here on the grounds and your gardens, and just the refreshing, the cool temperatures. I appreciate the mindfulness of the Lord. Don't you? God is so mindful of us, Brother Terry. I wonder sometimes we look at things. I look at things probably in a carnal way a lot of times. I don't even appreciate a lot of this natural things that I ought to appreciate. But just the good cool rain, how it cools things off. I appreciate that. God is so good to every one of us. I don't see how one of us can have a complaint tonight. I really don't. God has been so good to us. Brother Patty's good, ain't he? Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together. Let it rain. Let it rain some more. Let it rain in here tonight. How many of you like to have some rain fall on you tonight? Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the flood gates of heaven. Cup of praise tonight. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. God bless you. Appreciate your contribution to this service tonight. Amen. You know, there's a price to pay for anything that's worth having. And sometimes when you sacrifice, you sing, you don't feel like it. And I believe the Lord appreciates that out of you. I really do. I know you're tired tonight, so we're going to have Sister Lewis. I believe this is their last night to be with us in service. They're going to be heading back to Ohio, but we've certainly appreciated them, enjoyed them while they've been here, and they're not visitors anymore. They just come back home once in a while. So we appreciate them. Brother Tim, where are you at? Give her a nice hand tonight as she gets ready to sing. Have a good time tonight.
I love you all because of wonderful people and see Jesus in all of you.
This was at Brother Louis' request, so it hadn't been practiced.
It's a Brother Louis song. Brother Louis sang this song and blessed my heart several times, so we just want to sing it. It's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this word, the more it means to me. It's Jesus Jesus, I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus, I really want to see. The more I see of this world, would you sing it with us, please? Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Just like to say I appreciate the Lord's love. And as me and another brother was talking, I appreciate the love and the acceptance here in this church, which is the love of the Lord. So I just appreciate y'all so much. It's a new one we're going to try, key of D. I start the day and open up your pages, searching for your truth. In anticipation, I await revelation of who I am in you. Quicken your word
more to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord.
Again.
I start the day and open up your pages, searching for your truth. In anticipation, I await revelation of who I am in you. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. At the end of the day, when all is tucked away, then the Spirit often speaks, bringing to light from my heart to the mind the word inside of me. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. In your word I know who I am. In your word I see. Before time I was in you, forever is my destiny. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Quicken your word to me, O Lord. Show me who I am in you, O Lord. Make it alive, transform my mind. Quicken your word to me, O Lord.
Amen. Did you write that, Brother Brandon? That's a good song, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. You appreciate our songs tonight? Amen. Let's stand. It's time to go on into the service. Brother Joe Hara is going to come and speak for us tonight. How many of you going to pray for Brother Joe Hara? The Lord will just bless him, give him words that we need to hear tonight. Let's sing a little song. I'm sure you learned it many, many, many years ago, but it's still true today. Jesus loves me. This I know. Because he told me so. Aren't you glad he told you so? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells. So one more time. Oh, now yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, I'm so glad he loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me.
While you're standing, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 3, verse 17. After that, we're going to turn to Mark 15, verse 22. I'd like to take the opportunity to wish my mother a happy birthday today. She's not going to tell you how old she is, but if I looked that good at 83, I'd tell you. I got to be nice. I still get dinners once in a while. So. But she's been wonderful. Genesis 3:17. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of my life. Excuse me, I can't hardly read here. Thorns also and thistles shall bring it forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. In reading that, what God is actually doing, we're going to look at this kind of as a court trial. God is actually passing sentence in the garden. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and his wife did God make coats of skins and clothed him. And if we could turn over to Mark 15, verse 22. This is also God passing sentence for your sins. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, place of the skull. They gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. When they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon him, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you did for me, Lord. The representation, Lord, that you put out for me to lay my sins upon. Lord, just my sins alone, Lord, were they laid upon him, if Father would sing too much. But here, Lord, you, your prophet said you made a propitiation for our sins, Lord. And you murdered your own son to take my place. Lord, as we look at this tonight, Father, Lord, you put a thought on our heart, Lord. You give us quotes and scriptures, Lord, that we could study for hours on end, Lord. Lord, but if you don't come and hand it to the bride, Lord, Lord, it'd be for nothing. So, Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight to get out of the way, Lord. Lord, I get nervous and everything seems to come out wrong, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that you would put me aside, Lord. But not only me, Lord, I pray that you put these people aside, Father. Lord, if they expect anything out of the flesh, Father, they're going to leave so disappointed. And I thank you for that tonight, Lord. I pray that you bless the word. Speak to my heart, Lord. I need much from you, Father. Pray you would grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I got a thought tonight. I had this thought. I had went to New York and with Brother Lingo and Sister Lois. Several months back, and I had preached a message there for Brother Robert, and I'd got some thoughts out of that, and I had a sermon on my computer from back in 09, and I had some thoughts on that, and I kind of put them together, and Wednesday night, I came to church, and Brother Donnie preached both of those sermons. So I told Brother Jimmy I'm going to try to come at it at a little different angle. I feel like if the Lord gave it to me, I don't feel right to change my thought. So if you'll pray and help me, we'll get through this. As a kind of making a foundation here for what we're going to speak about, represented by a lamb would be my title tonight. And Brother Branham said, the church in its condition in Jeffersonville in 56. Now it so pleased God that he sent Jesus to the earth that it pleased him to represent him as an animal. That animal was the lamb. Way back in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, in the foreshadows of the coming of Jesus, God sacrificed a lamb to be a substitutionary offering in the foreshadows of the coming of Christ. Now, as we read earlier in Genesis, the Bible does not say that God sacrificed a lamb It says he clothed them in skins. But the prophet comes and tells that God took a lamb, sacrificed him to cover the sins of Adam and Eve. I've often wondered why that God would foreshadow Christ as an animal, as a beast. But we come to find out that the lamb, the reason he chose a lamb is the meekest and most gentlest of all creatures on the earth. There is nothing more meeker and gentle than a little lamb. So innocent, not self-sustaining, it's not arrogant, it's a gentle, meek little creature. When God was going to represent Christ to the world, he represented him as a lamb. And two words we're going to look at, the meaning of, it's very simple. It's nothing deep here. To represent, to take the place of, in some respect, to act in the place of, or for usually by legal right, in a sacrifice. The act of offering to a deity something precious. And the lexicon's got the sacrifice to slaughter in divine judgment. And what we're looking at first here is we see that God has Adam and Eve. We know the reason why Adam and Eve, Brother Branham said that he had a conference. He pulled Adam and Eve and the serpent underneath a tree there in the garden.
Amen.
He had a conference with him, and we kind of look at it like this is the first trial ever on the face of the earth. God holds court in the garden.
Amen.
He starts handing out penalties. Now, by right, Adam and Eve should have been killed. And in a sense, spiritually, they were. Their eternal life ended that day that they took from the tree and they were cast out of the garden. But if you know anything about the way the judicial system works, Brother Branham always said the natural types of spiritual. And I know some of the brothers, Brother Wayne, Brother Matthew, and Brother Tony, some of them are familiar with the way the court system works, the way the judge. The judge at any time can appoint anybody, any attorney in the courtroom to take a case. If it worked the way God had it worked in our judicial system, that would, Brother Matthew, you'd be in quite a situation because you'd have to take the penalty for your client. Whenever God appointed representation, as he did with the lambs down through time, the way the children of Israel sacrificed their lambs, that lamb basically became their attorney, became their representation of their sins.
Amen.
And their sins was laid upon their attorney, and the death penalty was laid upon their attorney.
Amen.
So we look at the first trial. Adam and Eve have sinned. They need a covering. They realize they're naked before God. They realize their sin. As we know, Adam sinned willfully. He was not deceived as was Eve. So God appoints them representation through the lamb. If we could look at their sin and the penalty, they knew the law. They knew that the penalty for the sin was death. They knew that if I do what God says not do, I'm going to die. So why would Adam do this? Which we know Brother Branham said he typed Christ.
Amen.
Being not deceived, took his bride.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
But we know all of this had to take place so God could lay out the types, could lay out the foreshadows of Calvary, of your sins being laid upon Christ. But here Adam falls, he takes the entire race with him. We know that Satan takes the deed to the earth and everything in the earth. God still holds the abstract.
Amen.
So he leaves, walking out of the garden wearing these bloody skins. Now God didn't take time to kill these lambs, lay out the skin, tan it, salt it, scrape it, get it nice and warm and fuzzy to put on Adam and Eve as they leave the garden. The blood is what Adam has to have for a covering. It's not the skin itself.
Amen.
God required the blood.
Praise
Brother Branham said in conferences, I can imagine God, our Father, down in the Garden of Eden, looking around to find a certain tree to where he could call his children up into his presence under the tree. He selected a place. He called that conference and he stood Adam and Eve and the serpent. And there was a conference held. They had trespassed the laws and his laws were just and the penalty must be paid. How are they going to live after the death sentence hangs on them? And there was a conference held. There was a propitiation made for that sin, and temporarily, until the woman sinned, was to bruise the serpent's head. That would pay the full penalty of sin that a lamb sacrificed until that time to be fulfilled. There was something that was achieved. There was something done that was great, a way that man could be saved again. So God is laying out a type. God's just not passing judgment on Adam and Eve and casting them out of the garden just because He could. God is trying to lay a foundation of what is to come. He's also laying a revelation of what already happened. Because Abel comes along. And then Brother Branham said Abel actually had a revelation. Actually saw in Faith Once Delivered to the Saints, God gave Abel a revelation of what the plan of salvation was. So Abel has a revelation of what took place in the garden. Abel has a revelation of why this required blood. He has a revelation that it takes a lamb. Now, I don't think that Abel just, when he gets this revelation, he runs into his little flock of sheep there, grabs a lamb out, and goes, throws it on the rock, and starts hacking and beating on it. What type of lamb did God require? The type of lamb He required, which we know in Leviticus, when He starts talking about revealing to Moses the type of lamb that the children of Israel have to bring for a sin offering. Has to be without blemish. Amen. Has to be a firstborn of a ewe lamb, of a ewe sheep. Yeah. Could be no fault in this lamb. And Abel knows the only way he's going back is he offers the same offering that God required. Amen. So I would say that Abel, he probably had a favorite lamb that he had. And no doubt when he gets this lamb, maybe he spends days, weeks, maybe a month inspecting this lamb, making sure that it's just right, making sure it's eating the right things, making sure that there's no blemish. He goes through it, searches it day in, day out. This is the lamb he's going to take before God. You can't give God just anything. You can't just give, you sacrifice something for God. God, oh, I'm going to miss my dessert today because I'm going to fast, so I'm not going to eat that pie. It don't work that way. You sacrifice things that are going to maybe hurt you a little bit. They're going to affect your life a little bit. So Abel was going to give up something that affected his life. So Abel finds out about this trial that happened in the Garden of Eden. He finds out that God had passed judgment. He didn't find out from his mother. Brother Branham said the mother taught Cain that it was fruits. Taught Cain that it was the fine things of the earth that God required. She fed Cain false doctrine. Abel didn't fall for that. So by faith, Brother Branham said that Abel saw the crucifixion by revelation before the foundation of the earth. He had the revelation that Jesus Christ was crucified. So here he's going to bring his sacrifice. Now as he takes this lamb and he's inspected it, days, weeks, he's going to bring this before God. As he lays it up there, I'm sure maybe he said a prayer over it before he began to Brother Branham said, began to hack on his throat with the rock. And I'm sure blood was going everywhere. And the blood of this lamb began to fall all over Abel. Let's say, just to dramatize a little bit, he's sacrificing his favorite lamb. The lamb dies. He holds this lamb dear more than anything in the world. No doubt he falls over the lamb weeping for what he had to give up. For what he had to sacrifice. And as Adam leaves the altar, he's covered in the blood of the lamb. Brothers and sisters, whenever you come to Christ, when you accept that sacrifice, it's going to get on you. That's the only way that God looks at you is through the blood. When He looks at you, He sees the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's the only hope you have. whenever the children of Israel would sacrifice, the Bible tells us the type of lamb that they had to bring as a sin offering. The lambs had to be washed. They had to wash. There was a type of water baptism. They had to wash the lamb. Amen. Which for years, the children of Israel, the Jews, even after Christ was crucified, they still sacrificed lambs because they did not believe that Jesus was the sacrifice. Yeah, that's right. They actually sacrificed lambs up to what they call 70 CE, which is Christian era. They don't use AD because AD stands for year of our Lord, and they do not recognize him as their Lord. But they sacrificed lambs until the Roman Empire tore their temple down.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
And this was something that they held to the highest standards was their sacrifices.
Yeah.
So here, Abel has this sacrifice that he's bringing. Let's read this in The Power of God in Chicago. The Bible wasn't written then. So if Cain, his brother, who was set under the same teaching of father and mother, came down and brought fruit to make the offering. But Abel, by revelation, he saw that it wasn't fruits that brought us out of the Garden of Eden. It wasn't your works that brought you out of the denominations. It wasn't anything that you could bring, anything. God did, in fact, God says, everything that you have, let's get rid of. Let's leave it in Egypt, okay? So here, he's telling Abel, you've got to have the revelation that your mom didn't get. But it wasn't fruits, it was the blood of his mother, Brother Branham says, or his father. So he came and offered the blood of a lamb by divine revelation. No one to tell him anything about it. But he, by faith, he seen the Son of God coming. And he offered a lamb in a figurative type, seeing that Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He testified. And God testified, that's the truth. God will always testify, that's the truth. So the prophet says Abel actually saw that Jesus Christ was the lamb.
Amen.
Only a prophet could see that. Only a prophet could see the revelation that Abel had, the revelation that Job had. Let's look at Job. He had the same revelation that Adam had, that Abel had. Look at Job. But Abraham said, there's one coming to put him back in the way. This is in God's provided way. He says, oh, when I think of that, my innermost being screams out, what can I do to get to this man? There's coming one who will place him back to where the one will stand and put his hand on the gap of sin here. When he will go in, take sin upon himself and bridge the way back that man came out of the ground again.
Amen.
Brother Bram says, Job began to see it.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
In beginning and ending of Gentile dispensation, Brother Bram says, the morning stars shouted for joy. You ever heard the why? Anybody ever heard what Brother Bram said, why the morning stars shouted for joy? I read this I think a few months ago. Them shining ones shouted for joy when they seen. I'm sorry. I'm getting old. Seeing that someday through a tabernacle here on earth, the King Melchizedek would come in the righteousness of God, give his life to redeem us back to God again and outshine the stars forever. Job catches this revelation. The only reason why God has to show him before he reveals to him the resurrection, he has to show him something. Job, where were you when the stars shouted for joy? Where the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you at? So why did they shout for joy? Why was it King Melchizedek? Why is King Melchizedek going to be the one to redeem them back? Because it's going to take a sacrifice. Melchizedek was the high priest. Only the high priest can make the sacrifice.
Amen.
Only the high priest could slay the lamb.
Amen.
So here Job sees a revelation. Who brings the revelation to him? A prophet.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, the little prophet Elihu. He began to listen to this little prophet Elihu. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
The first thing you know, Job raised up. God put his binoculars down over his eyes. He looked away down 4,000 years and said, I know my Redeemer liveth. At the last days he will stand on the earth, though the skin worms destroy this body. And yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I will see myself, mine own eyes shall behold and no other. He saw the resurrection of Christ. So Job has a revelation. Something had to die. What did he say? He called him my Redeemer. How would he redeem Job? Job knew he was destined to die. Job knew he was going by the way of the grave.
Amen.
Look at all the sacrifices that Job sacrificed daily. Job would first sacrifice for himself. If you read that and you read in Leviticus, God required the high priest to sacrifice one for themselves first before they sacrificed the sin offering for the sinner.
Amen.
And this was in case there was any sin on the priest. Job caught the same revelation. In case I have sinned in any way when I offer the sin offering for my children. In Chicago, in 55, Brother Branham preached the law. Now in the Old Testament, a beautiful picture of the sinner coming to offer for himself a sacrifice. He had to find. We know all in type how it must be. A lamb without a blemish. It must be brought from the sin offering. What had to be from the first sheep, from the old mother ewe, and must be without blemish. It must be brought up and sacrificed and die for the sins of the people. Notice, then if the man who done something evil, committed adultery, took the Lord's name in vain, or broke the commandments, he brought the lamb to the priest. The lamb was washed and so forth, typifying water baptism. Then he brought the lamb up and confessed his sins before the priest, what he had done, the evil that he did. And the priest, the note was made of that and was put on the book. If that man did the same sin two times in a year, he died without mercy.
Amen.
That's one thing that the lamb, the sin offering is done for the children of Israel. They didn't give them the ultimate sacrifice. It didn't cover their sins as Christ did. This was something that had to be done year after year after year.
Amen.
He would take the sin, the sacrifice. He would lay it up on the altar. He would confess his faults after the lamb was washed. It was inspected for blemishes. The high priest announces there's no fault in the lamb.
The
man lays his hands on the head of the lamb and the priest kills the lamb. He hacks and cuts on the lamb. The blood of the lamb begins to get on the sinner, and he is covered by the life source of the lamb. When he left the sacrifice, people would look at him and see he had received representation from the lamb by the blood that was on him.
Yes.
Let's say this sinner leaves the tabernacle after offering his sacrifice. He goes down the road. He goes home. He's got blood all over him. Everybody knew where he'd been. They could not accuse him of anything. No matter what he had done, he could not be accused. The blood of the Lamb was on him. When God looks at you, what if God looks at you without the blood? I was talking about when we first started, the way the judge would appoint an attorney for your case. One of the things that had added to this message being on my heart, I was sitting in court a few months ago waiting on a case that I had, and they take pleas there in the court and they do arraignment. The arraignment is to let you know what your rights are and to appoint you an attorney or see if you can afford one. This young man walks up to the podium before the judge, and the judge asks him, do you know what your rights are? He says, yes. Do you know, can you afford an attorney? No. Couldn't afford one. You won't want to appoint it to you. He said, no. And this message was already on my heart then, and I really got to thinking, he doesn't have a chance. He's got no one to represent him.
Amen.
He's going to stand before a judge with no representation. He don't know the law. All he knows is his rights. He knows I have a right to an attorney. But he turned it down. There's many in this day, in this last age, that had the right to an attorney.
Yeah.
Brother Branham said Christ was your attorney.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You had your right to attorney and you turned it down. Because you thought you knew what was best. You thought that your knowledge of the Word, your knowledge of the Scriptures, of the quotes, you didn't need anybody to tell you what to do. You're going to stand before God without the blood because you turned down your attorney. And it just saddened me, and I thought, I've been in court, I don't know how many times, I've seen a few try to do. Brother Matthew can tell you the same thing. They get in there, and they ain't got a clue what they're doing. I don't think I've ever seen one win one yet. They go in there with, I don't know. I mean, it's free. If you can't afford an attorney, won't be able to represent you. How easy is that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the same thing you've been offered. He didn't even ask you if you wanted to afford one. He just said, I'll give you one.
Amen.
So how could you turn it down? Why was the blood? Why did God require the blood the most? Why? What about the blood was so important? Why was it blood? Why was it not something nice like gold, silver? Why was it blood? Why did God require a mess?
Amen.
Brother Branham said in Christ in 55, and through the blood, you become part of Him. Into the same cell that He came out of. You became Him into the same cell that He came out of.
Amen.
The same part of Christ that came out of God is the same part that you come out of. You've got to be identified with that blood. Whenever God, you have to become part of that blood. The blood becomes you. So when God looks at you and sees the blood of Christ, He sees you with the life of Christ. He has to recognize the life.
Amen.
That's why it took blood, because God had to recognize the life.
Amen.
And the very presence of it, let me back up, and through the blood, you become part of Him into the same cell that He came out of. And the very presence and part of God comes into you. By faith, you purchase it. And the same Holy Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ comes into you. Let's look at your lamb for a little bit. See, as Jesus comes, we read briefly about Him, about His birth at 12 years old, and then it fades away, and then we pick Him up at the age of 30. John's one of the first ones to catch the revelation of who He was. So here comes your lamb down to the River Jordan. As your lamb comes down, John announces Him. Behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So He's announced the lamb. What is the next procedure for the lamb that's going to be sacrificed? Has to be washed.
Amen.
So the prophet, typifying the high priest, washes the sacrifice. What happens after that? The lamb's washed. Why did He not go directly from the water to the cross? He's got to be inspected for faults. He's got to be inspected for mistakes. He has to be checked for blemishes. Immediately, Satan tries to find fault in Him. Tries to tempt Him in for a blemish. Look at Him. 3.5 years. He's washed in the River Jordan. He goes through trials, temptations, ridiculed, inspected for 3.5 years. And as He does that, He comes before the highest person in the land, which is Pilate. And Pilate says, I find no fault in Him.
Yeah.
Pilate just announces the Lamb is ready for sacrifice. Don't even know what He's doing.
Amen.
Brother Bram said, when it comes to God's sacrifice, He does not change. The same requirement. That's why He told Moses how to tell the priest how to do it, how to wash it, how to inspect it. How to prepare it for the sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
So here He goes. The highest voice in the land, which is Pilate, announces Christ is now ready for sacrifice.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Who's going to kill Him?
Amen.
Who's going to take the life of this lamb? This is your representation. This is your attorney. In a minute, we're going to put you in the courtroom with him. But here is your sacrifice. Christ said, I put my own life down. I take it up. No man would take his life. But who's required to take the life of this sacrifice? It's Melchizedek. Let me read that again, if I can find it here. King Melchizedek would come in the righteousness of God and give his life to redeem us back to God again and outshine the stars forever and ever. So Melchizedek is the high priest.
Amen.
Which we know Brother Branham said in when he met Abraham, it was Christ. So let's put you in a courtroom. Let's look at your life. That was just trying to briefly touch on the representation of the sacrifice. But let's look how we started out. Why did we need an attorney? Why did we need representation?
Amen.
Every one of you were raised different. Came through denominations. Some no churches at all. Some in the message.
Sure. Amen.
You, everyone in your life, you were born condemned. Brother Branham said you were born condemned. God judged you before you were even born.
Amen.
So we all need an attorney. So as we come in different ways, different paths in life, you could have never done nothing. You could have been a good person all your life. And in that, you still were sin in God's sight. Filthy. Dirty. Could have been the best person on the face of the earth. But to God, you were trash.
Amen. Right.
That's just the way it is. God looks through the blood. Brother Branham said in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, we're everyone condemned no matter what we ever do. We're condemned. We were born condemned. Your mama and your papa were born condemned. You, all your ancestors were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So how are you ever going to get it? How are you going to be perfect? If you've never done a thing, never stole, never lied, never done anything in your life, you're still condemned. You were condemned before you breathed your first breath.
Amen.
You were condemned. That's correct. You were judged of God before you breathed your first breath. So let's look at the natural type and the spiritual. You automatically come into life with sin. So therefore, you have to be tried.
Amen.
Let's put your life inside the courtroom. The day that you get appointed your attorney, everybody, that God is no respecter of person, everybody is getting arraignment.
Amen.
That's where you get appointed your attorney. It's your choice to accept it or turn it down.
Yeah.
So let's look at your life. Some of us were drunks. Some of us ran around on our wife. Some of us smoked cigarette. Some of us didn't do anything. But you're still sinned.
Amen.
When you, a lot of times you see somebody high profile, you know, that gets arrested for something, a big trial they have in the national papers and stuff, and you see them sit there in a suit, all nice, stretched out. Then after the trial, they lead him away. And I had always wondered, why don't these get up and run out? Why don't they run away? Which at the time I didn't know. They put on them for court purposes, for to appeal to people. They put leg irons underneath their pants. And you can only move your legs a certain way. Such laws, you're hearing this again, so I'm sorry. And then your legs are only allowed to move just a little bit. Or they'll put what they call a belly band on you with shackles on it. And this is the way you move. You just move a little bit like this. So this is the way you're going through life. In your mind, you're having fun. You have no idea that you're doing this. You have no idea how you're walking through life. You're having a blast. You're enjoying every minute of it. And you're headed to the death penalty. And you haven't got a clue. And this is the way you're walking. You're shackled. You're handcuffed. You go from the courtroom to the prison room. You go back and forth. You're led back and forth. And that's your life. And you're excited about it. But one day, every man is appointed an arraignment. Every woman is appointed an arraignment. So you come to court. Many of you, this is the day you found Christ. There's many people, this is the day they turned Him down. So let's look at the court setting now. Your prosecute attorney is Satan. Many of you heard this when Brother Brandon put Christ on trial, in the trial. Prosecuting attorney is Satan. We're going to put you on trial now, and Christ is your defense attorney. Amen. You're sitting there. Things in your life, you're starting to notice things in your life. You're starting to notice something's not right. You start to wonder, where am I headed? There's more than this than what I'm doing. Yeah. You start to realize it ain't as fun Amen. Being shackled as you thought it was. Right. You're starting to realize that I need representation. So God's the judge. And as we get ready for this court trial, it's funny sometimes if you sit in court and you watch somebody that's got an attorney and their attorney ain't there yet and they're swiveling that head looking for him to come in and he's running late. And I tell you what, it's funny sometimes to see look on people's faces when they think they're going to have to represent themselves. But here you are sitting. And your attorney walks in. Let's look at the way he walks in. The King of Heaven in all His glory comes into your life. He's going to sit beside you. He's going to tell you, you have the right to remain silent, which I suggest you do. Every attorney will tell you that. I would suggest that you use that right. Yeah.
Amen.
You have the right not to be put on the stand. I suggest that you do that. How are you going to explain to God your sins?
Amen.
Satan was able to get you on the stand. How are you going to explain to God that you did what you did?
Amen.
You've got no excuse. You're found guilty already when you walk in. So your attorney is sitting beside you. He's telling you your rights. One thing about it, he knows something that you don't know. Now Satan comes before God. He starts pointing out your faults, your failures. I'm going to tell you something, when you get saved, you accept your attorney, and you're set free, your court trial don't end.
Amen.
Satan accuses you every day.
Amen.
One thing about your attorney is pro bono for life. How many knows what pro bono is? It's for free. He will represent you for free for life.
Amen.
So the judge, God sits there and He listens to your life being played out by Satan. The bad thing about it is, right now, it's all facts. Satan's telling the truth. And you're sitting there thinking, if you ever sit in a court trial, and whenever I go to trial, I'm on the prosecute attorney side. And if it's my case, and I'm listening to the defense attorney, I'm thinking, I'm going to get beat. I am going to get beat because he's just laying out the facts. But then it's my attorney's turn. But Satan starts telling God all these facts about you. You're wanting to say something in your defense, but your attorney's then told you to be quiet. Satan has the jury stacked against you. I did find something out this year about a jury trial that I've never known. I've been there 14 years, and I never knew. I had a murder case where they were trying this man and this woman for murdering their baby. And we presented all the evidence. And the evidence for the prosecutor, the DA's office, was just overwhelming. And the defense, after they see the evidence, defense attorney stands up and asks the judge, says, "I move for the judge to acquit my client." I was thinking, judge can't do that. We have a jury. So I asked the DA there, said, "Can he do that?" He said, "Yeah, the judge has power to, no matter what the evidence is, if he says, I don't see enough evidence, no matter what the jury says, he can let him go." I thought, you know, that's just like God. Satan gave every bit of evidence he had against you. All the evidence was against you. In fact, there's everything that Satan told God about you was true. He had all the facts. He had the videos. He had everything to back it up. And God says, "I don't see any evidence. I don't see anything to hold the defendant." Let's look at the witnesses Satan puts on the stand against you. He puts temper up there. Temper says, "Yeah, about 3 or 4 times a week, me and him partied." Bitterness. He puts bitterness up there. "Yeah, he's bitter. He don't particularly care what the pastor has to say. He gets up and walks out." Lust. Unbelief. Addiction. Depression. They all take the stand against you. And God just sits there and listens. Remember, this is just your arraignment. This is when you accept your attorney. After you accept your attorney, God won't listen to him anymore.
Praise the Lord.
He stands before God night and day accusing you, and God does not hear him. Because you've got representation.
Praise the Lord.
Satan presents the facts against you. They testify. There comes a certain twist to this case. God looks at all the evidence and he tells Satan, "I don't see any evidence because I've laid it all on his attorney."
Yeah. Amen.
Now in a court trial, the attorneys have the right to approach the bench. One will not approach without the other. If the defense says, "Your Honor, may I approach?" Prosecuting attorney goes with him, vice versa. Because they're not going to let him hear anything that he says to the judge that he can't hear.
Praise the Lord.
So he lays his sins on your attorney, and your attorney has to take the penalty. Let's put this on Jesus for a minute. Here's your attorney. He's in the court trial with you. He's sitting there. He came in, radiant, King of glory. And all of a sudden, God says, "I'm laying your sins on him."
Amen.
In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus requests to approach the bench. You think he already knew this was going to happen. He already knew that your sins were going to be laid on him. But he approaches the bench and says, "Your Honor, is there any way we could do anything else?" He didn't want your sins. Look at your sins. Did you want them? Did you want the sins that were laid upon you? And why would you want your sins to be laid upon the King of glory? And here they are. He approaches the bench in the garden. Do you think Satan was going to let him approach that bench without him being there? But one thing about it, Satan took his papers with him to the bench. He's held the papers, the deed to your life. He should have left him at the table. Because when he approached the bench, God reaches over and takes him from him.
Amen.
So not only are your sins laid on the King of Heaven, God takes the deed back. And all this is for free. It didn't cost you a dime. And those of you that have accepted your attorney, have accepted the fact that your life, no matter what your life was before, how many would go back? How many would undo what's been done for you? How many would trade to go back? Hey, when I lived in the world, I had fun. I had fun. I enjoyed it. You can't sit there and say you didn't. You did. The hangovers weren't great, but hey, they were going away soon. That's just the way life was. It was exciting. So he approaches the bench and he asks the Father, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me.
Amen.
Now, Brother Bram tells us in the garden is where God left him.
Yeah. Amen.
I used to think God left him because he wanted to see what God, what Christ would do. But that wasn't the case. He left him because God will never touch sin. Sin will never touch God. And the sins of the world were getting ready to be laid upon your attorney.
Amen.
And the judge pulled himself away.
Yes.
So he walks out. You ever wondered what he felt like? I wonder what he felt like just of my sins of 44 years. Just of the sins that I had that were laid upon him. How would he feel? Just if my sins were laid upon him. Let alone the world.
Yes. Amen.
John 3:16 was fulfilled then for the world. God gave his only begotten Son. That all men may be saved. Not will be, but may be. That's a choice.
Amen.
That's where the may be saved occurs at your arraignment. You can accept your attorney or you can try to take the stand for yourself. So he's... You remember how you walked in the courtroom? You walked in, shackled, moving, just like this? That's the way your attorney walked out. Your attorney walked out shackled with your sins, shackled with your leg irons, shackled with your bitterness. He walked out with temper. He walked out with lust. He walked out with unbelief.
Thank you, Lord.
Every sin that you ever committed, Christ walks out of the courtroom with your sin attached to him. You have no excuse. You have no excuse when you had the opportunity to get representation. Now on that day, you'll either have representation now or you won't have it there. You'll have no excuse. Your whole life will be played out before you. But Branham said God murdered his own son and it pleased him. Adam was given a decision in the garden. He chose to take his bride's sin on himself. He wasn't deceived. He chose to go with her. Jesus was also chosen, given a choice in the garden. And he said, not my will, but your will be done. He chose to take the sin of his bride upon himself and walked out of the garden to his death. Adam also walked out of the garden to his death. Look at the fourth seal. Brother Branham said, as long as the intercessor is still on the throne, Satan can stand there and accuse because he is the attorney for the other side. He's the opponent of Christ. And Christ is standing there. The opponent is standing there saying, but wait, Adam fell. Adam done this. I conquered him. I got his wife to believe a lie. And you said she'd be damned and I got it. But here's the mediator standing there. The kinsman redeemer. Brother Branham says, amen. Standing there with the blood that can take the vilest sinner's heart and change it. A mediator is on the throne. Yes, sir. Satan said they're guilty. Jesus said they're not.
Amen.
Many of you, you've got sins you're ashamed of. I do. Everybody does. You've got things in your life that probably nobody knows. Every one of us do. It's shame. It's because of shame.
Amen.
And he walked out with that shame. Take your deepest, darkest secret that you got. The worst thing you've ever done that nobody knows about. And he walked out with it.
Amen.
No one will ever know. No one will ever know. It'll never be played on that day.
Amen.
You've got an assurance that because your attorney took that,
yes,
it'll never ever be brought up again.
Amen.
They have what they call an expungement or judicial diversion. If you enter a plea that after you finish your time that they'll take this off the book. Satan's always wanting to get you to enter a plea. Just admit you've done this. Just admit you've done that. And then after a short period of time, once we get this all worked out, we'll forget it. God don't work that way. Satan must think you're dumb because you know your attorney's going to get it wiped off the slate clean, never to be brought up again.
Amen.
Thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. So why would you take a plea for the easy way out?
Yeah. Right.
Just to enjoy a brief more time of worldliness, of excitement. Satan will get you to take a plea just so you can, you know, have a little more fun over here. Skip church here. I can't make it today. I can't read today. I can't pray today. Sometimes God's way is going to be the hard way. Satan's going to make it look awful easy for you. So what was your death? What was your penalty? Your penalty was death. You were destined to die.
Amen.
That's the death penalty. Like I was saying earlier, how would you like to be an attorney nowadays and they run a courtroom that way? If your attorney gets you off, he takes the penalty. You'd have Brother Matthew and all these other attorneys be trying to get civil litigation cases and divorce cases and everything else. They wouldn't have to do any criminal law. So we wouldn't have no attorneys left. I'll be in jail or killed. So here we are as your lamb walks out of the courtroom carrying your sins. Takes them to hell. Abraham said his soul went to hell, his body was in the grave, and his spirit went to God. And he took your sins to hell.
Amen.
Kicked in the door and threw them inside. Yet how many times does Satan reach down in there and pull them out and hand them to you and you take them back? God's already said you didn't do it. God's already said you've paid the price. It's been wiped clean. And Satan will take your sins. He'll take somebody else's sin in the church and hand it to you and you bring it up. That sin's been hit to hell once. Why not put it back? They were put there in hell for a reason, because that's where they belong. They don't belong in your mouth. They don't belong in your head.
Amen.
You take a look beside you. Look at somebody beside you, and that is somebody that went through the same thing you went through. Went through the courtroom. Had the same God of heaven as their attorney.
Amen.
Who died for them. Who gave his life for them. And you don't like them. God found them worthy. God found them worthy to be give eternal life.
Amen.
He loved them enough. And you're sitting here saying that you have the blood of Christ all over you. What comes with the blood?
Hey,
the life.
Right.
You'll have the same life.
Amen.
But that's flesh. That's flesh. I can't help. I'm going to have a little flesh. God ain't coming after flesh.
No.
God ain't coming after flesh until you get this under subjection. Hey, we're going to have a little bit of flesh until we get out of here. But that's where the Holy Spirit takes over.
Amen.
That's where the life of Christ takes over this flesh.
Amen.
And if God found somebody worthy that he would die and take all their sins and give his life, murder his own son.
Right.
And we want to backbite him. We want to talk about him. We don't like to be around him. Your opinion must be greater than God's. God's coming after a body. He's coming after a body that is in the likeness of Christ, the bridegroom. That's what he's coming after. What does a body do? A body coexists. It helps itself. It's one unit. It cannot be divided. God is not coming after a divided body. And that's where we get to the point where once the bride recognizes who she is, then we'll get out of here.
Amen.
You can't recognize who you are if you're fighting with yourself. It don't work that way. But Branham said, condemnation by representation. I'll never forsake him because he represents me. Amen. He is my Savior, and because of that, he died for me. I'm worthy because he took me as his own. He became me that I became him, that I might become him. He became a sinner and took my sins that I might be a son of God.
Praise the Lord.
So Christ becomes you, takes your sins.
Amen.
You become him.
Amen.
In order for that testimony to be true in your life, you have to take on that life. You have to accept, like we're saying, when that sinner laid his hands on that sacrifice and that priest would hack and beat and cut on that lamb and that blood would spray on that sinner, he went home with representation where he had been.
Amen.
You will leave that courtroom with representation of where have you been. That sacrifice, if you fully accepted their sacrifice, it'll get all over you. You can't help it. It's a mess. It's a bloody mess. That's the only thing God looks at is the offspring of that lamb. The cast off, the blood that splattered on you. You can't wash it off. Pilate tried. Pilate tried to wash it off. It won't wash off. It'll either be testify against you or it'll testify for you. So where does this lamb go? He goes to hell, take your sins. His body's in the grave. His spirit goes to God. He comes back. He goes to get glorified.
Praise the Lord.
Let's look at John. He's caught up in the vision. And he sees your attorney.
Amen.
What did he see? He said the lion of the tribe of Judah. He turned around. He seen a bloody lamb. This is one of my favorite quotes. I've probably read it here before, so forgive me. This is in the breach. John looked at that lamb, and that lamb looked like he'd been slain. He noticed he was wounded and cut and bruised and bleeding. A bloody lamb. That's what took our place. Isn't that strange? A simple lamb had to take our place. And he saw the lamb. He proceeded out. John hadn't saw him. You remember the scripture in Revelations, it says, John looked. There was no one found worthy. Couldn't find anyone. John didn't see the lamb yet. The elder had not said, behold, the lion of Judah. He hadn't seen him yet. He's already caught up in heaven. He's already caught in the vision. He's been there for a little while. And he hasn't seen the lamb yet. He has seen no one that's worthy. But we had a seventh-day messenger tell us where the lamb was at when John was looking for him. John hadn't saw him because he had been way back into the eternities, even making intercession and showing that those had come to God under the offering of bulls and goats, substitutory offering. So where's he at? What if a voice could have spoke to John and said, John, just be patient. Abel's blood is still screaming out. The blood of Abel's sacrifice is still crying out to God. Job's sacrifices are still crying out. Every children of Israel that offered sin offering to Christ, to God, It had to be redeemed.
Amen.
Those sacrifices did not give them eternal life. They covered their sin for that year.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So Christ, the Lamb, he's slain. John's looking for him. He's not there. He's going to picking up Job's sacrifices. He's picking up Abel's sacrifice. Abraham, Isaac, Moses. He's going to picking all those up.
Amen.
And what else is he doing? What if he said, John, just wait. The lamb's going down there to Laodicea. He's going ahead in time. He's picking up Brother Terry's sins.
Amen.
Picking up Brother Greg's sins.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
Here is John is looking for him. Can't find him because he's making an intercession for you. And then the lamb comes and opens the book. John saw the lamb reveal my name. John saw the lamb reveal his name. I would like to think that my theophany and John's theophany are brothers.
Yeah.
I would like to think that John's theophany told my theophany, I saw your name. Because he saw the opening of the book. He saw the revelation that come out of that book. Write not, John, don't write it. Do not write it. No doubt there's so much in John that when John came back out of that vision, he wanted to tell so much. Wondered if we were caught up in that vision with John, just say, John would have been able to tell us, he said, but I can't tell you. I saw something I really want to tell you, but I can't tell you. That revelation that John had caught in that vision wasn't only for John. That was for me. That was for you. That was the revealing of my name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, some people are happy with having their name on the Book of Life. I want my name coming out of a little book. I want my name to be revealed in those seven seals. In the third seal, Brother Bram said, now we found out that a slain lamb is a bloody lamb, bleeding all over. It's been slain. After it had been slain, it raised again and was sitting on the throne. Say way back, Brother Terry, way back behind the throne. Like this, interceding for all those souls that would come. That would come, not those that had already come. That would come, interceding for me and you. He's sitting behind the throne. Hadn't taken the throne yet. He's sitting behind the throne, interceding. For all those souls that would come when this last one was here and it was completed, God still held the book of redemption. Now he's just doing the kinsman work now. Like Boaz went down and Ruth was just sitting there waiting until Boaz. I mean, Boaz done the kinsman redeeming work.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, when he saved others, he saved himself. Brother Branham said, that was a compliment. Could have saved himself. But he saved others. I believe with all my heart, you look at the age we're living in. It is totally corrupt. If you want to see what the world is really like, you get some of these officers and Brother Matthew, go riding with them sometime. You'll see things you've never thought possible. People do. The world is gone totally insane.
Amen.
I had a call one night to go take a girl to the hospital for emergency committal. She was, they said, homicidal and suicidal. She had two sons. I think at the time they were my boys' age. They were around 8 and 4 or something like that. I took her there and she started telling me how she'd been to rehab. All this stuff. And I said, she was an alcoholic. They'd take her kids from her. Her sister was trying to get her kids. And I said, ma'am, have you ever tried God? I try to witness to some people sometimes that when I felt led. I don't do it all the time. She just looked at me and she said, I've tried that. It don't work. She said, let me tell you something. She said, I would give both of my sons and my soul for one can of beer. I thought, where's the hope for her? She turned down her attorney. She done testified, I've tried it. And she turned it down. What are you going to say to somebody like that, Brother Terry? What are you going to say? She done made her choice.
Amen.
She didn't want to try God. She wanted a can of beer. If it cost her soul or her kids, that's what would make her happy. Where are you at in your life? Are you just now in the courtroom? Have you even been yet? You know now, so if you never have, tonight's your night in the courtroom.
Amen.
If you've never ever heard it before, you heard it tonight. So tonight's your arraignment. You have a choice to take your attorney or turn him down.
Amen.
If you want to represent yourself, good luck.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, go down here to the detention center or over to Mountain City and ask some of the guys that represented themselves.
Yeah.
That's the only place you're going to talk to them at. They ain't out here walking free. They chose their way. If I could say anything to help you, I know this is just totally chopped up. But if I could urge you in any way, like I was saying, you look at the way the shape the land is in today. The government is totally corrupt. I'm not saying anything about the way Obama has religious views or anything. It don't matter. God's in control. It don't matter who's in there. God's in control. If it ain't Him, the next one will be corrupt. That's just the way it is. But time is so short. When you can have a sinner come up and tell you. I was down here at the ball field the other day. One of the firemen's a friend of mine, standing up. I just walked up, leaned on the fence, and he leaned over. He was two people down, walked over, stood beside me. He said, "Joe, I think the world's coming to an end." It's not just a revelation to the Christian anymore. It's not a revelation to the message people anymore. It's obvious. So I urge you, if any way possible, that if God has tugged at your heart, if God is saying, "I'm giving you representation," I urge you to take it.
Amen.
I hope all of us have. So let's stand together. Whenever the Lamb was hung on the cross, His attorney work wasn't done. It wasn't over. Like I said, it's still going on. It's even better now because God don't believe a thing Satan's saying. Barabbas is the only person that Jesus died for twice. He took His place physically and spiritually. I don't know whatever happened to Barabbas. I hope he took advantage of the opportunity that he had. Look at the thief on the cross. Here's an attorney hanging beside him. The attorney hanging beside him. And he tells him he's in need of his services. Jesus looked at him and said, "I can't. I'm hanging on the cross. Can't you see? I can't do anything." Ain't what he told him. He said, "Here's my card. Come to my office here shortly." It's for free. Can you sing that song, 10,000 Angels? Do you know what? He could have called 10,000 Angels. Let's just worship Him a little bit. I know it's been chopped up. I apologize for my nervousness. That's just part of me. Sorry.
Take the head of the word so y'all have sure key. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They led Him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify Him, He's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy. Set Him free. He could have
for you and me. A crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and they mocked his holy name. And all along he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy. In the garden where he prayed, they led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and said, him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He could have set him free. He could hold 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He thank you.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. Said, it looks like you're guilty. Son, what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. Sir, I have no defense. Oh, but that's when my representation walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case and called to the stand. God said, be that someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were all broken. I felt born again that moment when mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand.
Before we just close out, I wonder if we just sing this little song, little chorus. He has it all in control. Because every one of us has a different situation in life. We're at different places, different stages of maturity, different situations, different problems, different issues, different complexes, different trials. We're all individuals, but we have one common desire, and that's to make heaven our home. We come to church. We come to church because we need to be chastened. We need to be instructed. We need to find our place, a closer walk. All these things. We want to find out where we come up short. That's why I love to come to church. It's a house of correction. It's a soul-saving station. Thank God for these young people. Thank you for the spirit of conviction upon tonight. I appreciate the message with all of my heart. How many appreciate the message? Amen. He has it all in control. He's got it all in control. Does he in your life? He's got it all in control. Look, pray assurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. One more time before we have a closing prayer. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in. We'll just sing the verse one time. I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. I put my life in His hand. So every road I walk down, I'm sure it's in His plan. Footsteps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord. I know He's got it all in control. Let's sing it now before we dismiss. He's got it all in control. Yes, He's got it all in control. I'm glad He does in this insane world. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. Way down real deep. Anchored in my soul. He's got it all in control. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for this plan of redemption. You had attributes within yourself to be a redeemer, savior, healer. You couldn't do it as a spirit. You had to become flesh. It had to play out the drama. You had to become down through the span of time, Melchizedek, become Jesus Christ, our mediator now. Soon to be King of David. It's just about finished. The plan of redemption is about over. It's about ready to close the book because that last seed somewhere is going to come in. As He spoke tonight, the world is completely gone, totally insane. We're at the final days, I believe, before the consummation of the rapture. This is the anointing that we're under, the message we've been hearing. That's what we're hearing preached. Lord, we want to get ready to go up. It saddens my heart, dear God, because the prophet God said the foolish virgins, they all thought they were under the blood. They thought they were sealed in. We could ask everyone in the church, are you a bride? I believe I am. I believe I am. But everybody's not. But they thought they were. They thought they were under the blood. Oh, God, we don't want to see anybody lost. Anybody left behind. I don't want to be here during the tribulation. I don't want to have to go through that, Lord. Let me take my judgment now. Lord, let me accept my representation now. You died for my sins that I could go free. I'm thankful, dear God, that You preached that perfect law of liberty. You preached the acceptable year of the Lord, and that was this dispensation of grace. Thank You, Lord. Go with Your children tonight as we dismiss. Lord, I pray You give it travel mercies and Brother Donnie, I'm sure he's probably already gone up. Them, bless them and their services. Anoint him to speak. Keep him safe. Strengthen him, I pray. Strengthen Brother Joe. We appreciate the message so much. His study, his time of devotion, his time of praying, his time of meditation, research. We appreciate that. Lord, it's helped us. We see the fruits of the ones that come to the altar. Thank You so much for that. We give You praise, Lord. Be with us as we go until we meet again. We want to take the name of Jesus with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you. You dismiss. Brother Harry's going to sing. Take the name of Jesus with you as we dismiss. God bless you as you go. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take everyone. precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy. Sweet.